But today, we felt like there would be no better way to start off the new year than in prayer, right? In fact, in the Assemblies of God, that first week of the new year is always our prayer focus. And Jesus said in Luke 19:46, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," right? And that's what we want to make Northville Christian Assembly, a house of prayer. And you should have received a handout like this when you came in. How many, wave it at me if you got, good. On the front of that handout there, you're going to see, it's wonderful, the Assemblies of God has written out for us several different prayer focuses. Each day is a different prayer focus that you can be praying. I encourage you to put this on your refrigerator or wherever you're going to remember, wherever you go to pray, that you would remember this each day and that we would, as a church, really be spending some time. And you may even want to include some fasting in that time as well, maybe fast a meal or a Daniel fast during that time. And then I encourage you also, there's many new classes starting this week. Here's an opportunity for you to get plugged in and to pray with other believers and to share with one another. As Pastor Bob said, God never meant for us to walk this journey alone, but to walk it with others in the body of Christ. So I encourage you to do that. And then if you turn over to the back, I have a place for you to kind of, this is your worksheet for today as we go through the message, but to be able to write down your past blessings. How many know that when we recount the blessings of God, what he has done for us, it gives us faith then to see what God's going to do this year in our lives, right? We need that. We need that encouragement and to recount the blessings of God. David said he encouraged himself in the Lord, and we need to do that today, is to encourage ourselves in the Lord and then to be able to write down those current prayer requests in our lives that we have. I also wanted to bring out something that I saw online and on Facebook. Several of different people posted this, and I thought it was a really neat idea. But to take the blessings of God each week that happen in your life and to begin to write those down on a piece of paper and put them in a jar, repurpose a jar in your house. This was a jar I wasn't using, and to be able to write down the blessings of God, and then to be able on New Year's to open that jar and see what the Lord has done for you this year. And I would even encourage you, perhaps even sooner than that, how many know that sometimes we're walking through a rough time and we just need to remember what God's done, right? So we don't lose that hope in the Lord. And so that's another fun idea for you as we head into the new year, to remember the blessings of God. I've seen a lot of posts about 2020, right? It seems strange even to say that, 2020. Many people have talked about the idea of 2020 being related to seeing 2020, having clear vision. How many of you in this room have 2020 vision? A few of you. How many used to have 2020 vision in this room? How many? Okay, how many of you are that person that you have about 10 pairs of glasses all over your house? A few of you, yes, I see that. See that hand out there. My husband has always had very clear vision, like at least 20/20 or better vision. I've always been the one that has had not so great vision and had to wear glasses or contacts ever since I was a teenager. Well, a few years back, all of a sudden, he started not to be able to see quite so well. And so all of a sudden, these glasses started popping up. And I had to kind of chuckle just a little bit because I was always the one that I would take out my contacts. And sometimes I couldn't find my glasses. So it was like the blind leading the blind to try to find my glasses, right? And so now it's him. But I really believe that God wants us in 2020 to have that clear vision. And I encourage you, every time you write that date, 2020, would you write that out and say just a little prayer in your heart, Lord, would you help me see with that 2020 vision this year? Help me to see from a spiritual perspective what you have for my life in the year 2020. I've entitled my message, The Year of the Lord's Favor, and it's a 2020 prayer focus. And it really came from Luke 4:14-19, Jesus really made his purpose for us clear, and it says this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. How many know that we need the power of the Spirit more than ever in our lives, right? And the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. How many know it's important to have the custom of gathering with the saints of God, right? So I am so thankful for you coming together today to just start off the year right in the house of the Lord. It says, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And why don't we all say this together? The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How many of us know that Jesus hasn't changed his purpose in 2,000 years, right? I believe that he wants to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor over us today. I believe that he's anointed us to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom to those who are captive, to open blind eyes, and to free the oppressed. Praise the Lord. That's what God's called you to do. That's what God's called me to do. And we know that Jesus hasn't changed, right? We know that Hebrews 13:8 tells us what? Jesus Christ is the same. Say it again. Yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. He's our forever King. And I know that the name of Jesus still has power today. We can proclaim that name in faith over our circumstances. Our ladies group just went through the series by Tony Evans called The Power of Jesus's Names. And one of the names that we began to study is Alpha and Omega. Does anybody remember what that means? Beginning and the end. And as Tony Evans says, God doesn't alpha what he doesn't omega. God's going to finish what he started in you and me. And Paul really had that same heart when he spoke to the Philippians, and he said this in Philippians 1, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I really believe that that's part of what this is all about. As I began to think of 2019, a lot of times people are, when they come to the end of a year, they're like, finally, that year is over. I just can't wait for the new year to begin. I want to forget about everything that happened in 2019. Well, sometimes we need a fresh start, but I'll be honest with you, I don't want to forget the lessons that God taught me in 2019. Do you? You know, I think about sometimes we wear scars inside, and it shows where things have healed in our lives. You know, I want to remember where God has healed me. I want to remember what God has done for me so that then I can move on into fresh things in Christ. Right? I can take those lessons and I can apply it in a fresh way. And that's exactly what Paul was talking to the Philippians about. It says, it's right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, and this is my prayer for you as well, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Oftentimes, good is the enemy of best, right? Let's not just settle for okay, right? Let's believe for what is best in Christ Jesus, because we'll be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so we're going to start this year off in prayer. And how many know that it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're going to be effective in what we do? So we need the Holy Spirit's power as we begin to pray. And Zechariah 4:6, many of you know this scripture. Quote it with me. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And that's what we're going to be believing for, is the power of the Holy Spirit as we begin to pray. And Pastor James is going to come, and in a few moments we're going to pray together over four areas. First, for good government, our personal finances, salvation of the lost, and divine healing. And you may have other areas that might come to mind, and I encourage you to write those on the back of this sheet and begin to pray for those areas this year. But first, let's remind ourselves of some familiar scriptures that are going to build our faith as we pray. And Pastor Bob, come on up. He's going to be praying for good government. And how many know that our government perhaps could use a little bit of help, right? All you have to do is turn on the news and you got the right versus the left and this commentator and that commentator and everybody's in an uproar about something or other. And we've got important elections that are coming this very year. How many know that as a Christian, it is our job to vote, right? It's our job to pray for our elected officials and believe for God to do a powerful work in the United States of America. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Amen. Somebody need that here? "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And of course, 2 Chronicles 7:14, many of you are familiar with this. Why don't you read it aloud with me? "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Amen. Would you just stand? And Pastor Bob is just going to lead us in time of prayer for our government. Would you just take a moment right now and just begin to intercede? Begin to intercede for each government official. If you know them by name, begin to call out their name before heaven. Let's believe for God to do a mighty work in the United States.
Lord Jesus, as we take off from this precious verse in 2 Chronicles, it's the church's mandate to pray. The unrighteous don't know how to pray, but you've taught us how to pray. And we bring our prayers now before you today. Our awesome, almighty, sovereign God, you rule the nations, Lord. That is your place. Every authority must bow down before you. And so we pray, Lord, that we would be a country that would know your favor. But for that to happen, we need to be in alignment with your word and with your purposes. And so we pray for our president today in his cabinet. We pray for Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate. We pray for the judges. We pray for the court systems. We pray across our land for every elected official, Lord, from the smallest town to the largest city. Everyone that's involved in government, everyone that's involved with making decisions for this nation, we would ask that you would bring to them your wisdom and your grace, your understanding about what is right and what is wrong, their responsibility to care for the people of this land and to raise a standard that we can live by that will truly bring peace and life to us. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bring an influence, Holy Spirit, that you would move across our land this week, this day, as we pray together. You would move across our land and influence the lives of every elected official, whether they're in Washington, D.C., or the capitals or the cities of our country. We pray that they would have a personal revival in their own lives. If they're not individuals who know you personally, we pray that you would confront them with the gospel, that they would see the dichotomy of their lives. They would see their lostness and their need to know a Savior. They'd be brought to the cross in a place of decision, Lord, in their own lives. And we pray that as they come to that place, you would encourage them to move forward in faith. And Father, for those who aren't in that position, we would just pray that again, your wisdom would be upon them, that as they make decisions, they would be influenced by the rightness of choices that need to be made. As they weigh in the balance what decisions to make, you would be there speaking into their ear, this is the right way to move. Father, we ask for that in Jesus' wonderful name, that you would bring officials into power that would have that heart. Lord, we know we're in an election year, 2020, and we pray that you'd awaken our people across this nation, that as they think about who they're going to vote for, we know there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of dichotomy, there's a lot of polarization that has taken place in our land. And it can be so confusing, Lord, but we pray that our people would come to a clear understanding of right things to be voting for, not about a political party, not about what news channel they watch, but really what's the right way for our nation to go and for their own personal lives. We pray that eyes would be open to see which direction that should go, and may that influence the votes that take place across our land. And we thank you for this now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Can we just sing this together? Just sing, I'm surrendering. And I'm surrendering my all. Well, just offer it up as a prayer. And I'm surrendering my all. Surrendering my life. I'm surrendering my life. I give it all to Jesus Christ. I'm surrendering my all. Come on, let's just sing it again. And I'm surrendering my all. I'm surrendering. And I'm surrendering my all. Every part of me. Oh, I'm surrendering my life. I give it all to Jesus Christ. I'm surrendering my all. I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering my all.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Raymond is going to be praying for our personal finances, and I just want to briefly read Matthew 6:33, and it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." When we give first place to Jesus in our finances, when we seek his righteousness above all else, he's going to take care of the rest. Amen? God is so faithful. Maybe this is your year. Maybe you've never tithed before. Maybe you've never given to missions before. Maybe you've never given to our camps before that bring thousands upon thousands of kids during the summer to learn about Jesus. Maybe this is your opportunity to give in a fresh way. Let me tell you, when we give to God, he always gives back immeasurably. We can never outgive God because he's the owner. We are just those who are stewards of what he gives us. And I'll tell you what, I even think of my own grandparents back in the Great Depression. My grandpa wasn't serving Jesus. My grandmother was, and my grandpa would allow my grandmother to tithe. And even though he really wasn't fully committed to the Lord, he was committed to the principles of God's word. Well, let me tell you, when everybody else was losing their job, guess who still had a job? My grandpa. God blessed him and eventually came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and saw the faithfulness of God. And so I encourage you, test God. Test him in this, knowing that he is faithful and he's got your back. He's going to cover you.
God, we come to you right now, Lord, and we start out by giving you praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you, Lord, as a church body, Lord, that we are healthy financially. God, as a church, God, that we are healthy financially. Lord, we thank you for how you've blessed us. God, that we are able to give to missions. God, that we are able to do outreaches like the Symphony of Lights. Lord, we thank you, God, for that financial blessing. But right now, Lord, as individuals, as your followers, God, to start this year, God, we give you our personal finances. God, we release Lord, our personal finances to you and to you alone. God, may money never be our God. May money never control us. God, we always give it back to you, just as your scripture says. God, we give it to you. God, we trust in you with our personal finances. God, I pray, Lord, over maybe those who may be in debt this year, Lord, that this will be the year of breakthrough for them. God, that this will be the year, Lord, that finances will no longer control them, but Lord, that they will give their finances to you, Lord, and you will bless them so that they may bless others along the way. God, I pray that this year as a church body will be our largest giving to missions year yet because of how you bless us, Lord. God, we pray for your blessings, not for personal gain. God, we pray for blessings over our personal finances, not for our gain, but Lord, for your gain, for your kingdom's gain, so that those who have never heard your gospel message may hear it, maybe for the first time. God, I do pray over our body, Lord, and we start off the year releasing our finances to you, our personal finances to you. Take control. We give them to you. God, I pray that you guide us. Lord, you give us wisdom of how to best use them. Our personal finances, our money, God, that we follow your word at all times. God, we give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Raymond. Would you just lead us again? Let's just continue to worship.
Let's just sing this. Sing, God, I look to you. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. To see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. Come on, sing it. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God.
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The next area of prayer that we're going to cover is the salvation of the lost. How many of us are praying for loved ones who don't know Jesus yet? I hope that's all of us. All of us know somebody. 2020 could be their year. Perhaps you've been praying for a long time for a loved one, and it's starting to feel like, will they ever come to know the Lord? Well, just let me encourage you. I can remember my grandparents praying for 20 years for my uncle to come to know the Lord. And guess what? At my wedding, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and from then on served the Lord his whole life. God's got plans, good plans, not just for you, but for your friends and loved ones as well. And Pastor Pierre is going to lead us in prayer for the salvation of the lost.
Real quick, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus told this parable. He said, suppose that one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And that's a powerful scripture because God has a heart to look for those that don't know him, that haven't already come, haven't grown up in the culture. That was my family. My family had a little bit of experience with Catholic Church, and my mom sort of renounced all of that. She didn't want anything to do with the church, and so she eventually left my dad and broke our family up. And so as young children, we stopped going to church, and we only went to the beach on Sundays because we lived in Florida, and we would just took it as our own, like, recreational day. And so God became a very distant, foggy memory almost in my life. And at the age of 12, though, somebody that knew us from the community that my mom had forsaken, my mom had sort of left that Hispanic community when she decided to leave my dad. And so we kind of were on our own, and my mom was just kind of living life and partying and doing all kinds of stuff. And someone that knew us kept praying for us and inviting us to church. And finally, my mom just said, you know what, I'll go. You know, he's really a good friend of the family's kind of a thing. And so we finally went and we heard the gospel message, and we felt the Holy Spirit's presence, and we got saved in one moment. We really were like, what is going on? We don't understand what this guy's talking about. And he, at the altar call, he says, if you feel your heart pounding, that's the Holy Spirit. That's God talking to you. And I'm like, I don't know what he's saying, but that's happening to me right now. And I got saved, my brother got saved, and my mom got saved. And we instantly felt the power of the Holy Spirit change our lives. We had drug paraphernalia at home. We had Buddhas at home. We had all kinds of wacky stuff at our house. And we just were so determined, even as brand new baby Christians, to get rid of all that junk in our lives. So we were that lost sheep, not knowing anything. And God reached out for us. And so today, you know, we want to make this year a focus, a renewed focus. Hopefully it's our lifetime focus, but it's a renewed focus on the salvation of the lost that we have around us, right? Whether it's a family friend, like my mom was to this guy, whether it's a member of your own family. We still have members in our own family that I pray for and have been interceding for a long time, because we want them to come to know Jesus that way, that powerful Holy Spirit encounter that'll transform their lives. And it could be subtle, but for us, it was dramatic. But let's pray today. Go ahead and stand up. And Lord, we just come before you today. We thank you that you look for the lost sheep. Lord God, you don't give up on those that seem unlovable or seem closed off to you. Lord, many times it's those that fight and those that have attitudes, and that's because they're wrestling in their heart. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're going to go forward. We pray and release your Holy Spirit in our lives. Go forward and convince those that are around us that need you, Lord. Convince them of their sin. Convince them of your love. Convince them of their need for you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just divinely deal with their heart, awaken them to their lostness, of their hope that they need and only found in you, Lord Jesus. Make everything in their lives that they're relying on seem dry, seem empty, seem pointless without you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would empower us, Holy Spirit, to be intercessors and to be prayer warriors. And not just that, to be the light to them, to share the gospel. Holy Spirit, lead us into conversations this year to transform the life of those that we know, that we could lead them to you, Lord, that we could drop in our witness, Lord God, a moment that you've shared in our lives and done something great, that we would be willing to share it and not afraid, so that those lives around us can be transformed by the word of God and by the testimony of what you can do and who you are. And we pray for great salvation this year of our families, of our friends, of our co-workers, Lord, that you lead us to. Lord, even our enemies, those that we have attitudes with and are frustrated with, Lord, you love them just as much. And we pray that you would help us to change our attitudes and to love our enemies and to pray for our enemies. And Lord, that we would see a great harvest as a result of the prayers that not only start today, but continue through this year and the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We're going to hear a brief testimony from Galena Konitzer. She's going to come on up. And as she does, how many of us in this place need a divine healing touch from Jesus today? There's several of us who do, and go ahead, Galena. And I know that there's some of us, how many of us are praying for someone who needs a touch from Jesus right now? I know there's several of us in our body. We're glad to see you back, Dennis. I know you've been sick and in the hospital, and several of our members have been really dealing with some very serious illnesses. Well, Galena's family over the last several years has been dealing with quite a serious medical issue in their family, but God has done a powerful work, and so she's going to give us a testimony about that. And if that's you, that you're struggling today, just receive in faith what God is doing and the testimony that Galena's going to share.
Praise God. This testimony is about Kirsten Miracle, and Kirsten is our granddaughter. We call her KK. And she's 18 years old. But when she was 15 years old, driving her moped down a road in the Muskegon area, she had a horrible accident. She hit a car who had hit a car who had stopped suddenly for a flock of turkeys. And then she was hit by a car. And she was severely, severely injured. She really could have lost her life that day, and we were ever so glad that that wasn't the case. But she was so injured, and it was heartbreaking to go to the hospital to see her so broken. I mean, her left leg was broken in 19 places. Her right leg was lacerated badly, very badly. Her face was lacerated, and it was a horrible, horrible accident. And for the next few years, KK went through 13 failed surgeries trying to reconstruct her left leg that had been broken in so many places. The long and short of this testimony is that KK, at 18 years of age, she made a very thoughtful decision that she would undergo a above-knee amputation. And some people would say, well, why would you do that? And they didn't understand, many did not understand, that KK did not want to live a life with her leg in a brace, and she couldn't do the things that she desired to do, and she was always an energetic and even athletic kind of a person, and she really had one goal. She wanted to run and ski again. And she said to someone who was interviewing her that it was even more than that, that when she was older, she wanted to be able to play with her children. She wanted to run and play with her children. I appreciate that, because she had, you know, some insight to the next generation, even at her age. And so, you know, the prayers went up and the people supported. We sent out these wristbands, and these say Team KK, and we were all on her team. And it says on this wristband, nevertheless, she persisted. And you know, KK had a grace on her life to persist through these trials and difficulties. I remember the night before her surgery, laying in bed thinking, God, I cannot imagine what it would be like to know the next morning that someone was going to remove one of my limbs. You can't imagine. KK had great courage. And I tell you what, vision, 2020 vision is mentioned a lot today. KK had vision. And we're going to pray for healing in just a moment, but I'm telling you, God wants us to have vision for the best life according to divine design. See, none of this was according to KK's design, but God had a great plan. And so, you know what? In November, right here at NCA, she was fitted for a running blade, and she ran for the first time in over 3 years. And this past Friday, just a couple days ago, KK was over there in Grand Haven, and she was skiing. And we want to show you this video of KK skiing. This is her. You can see her. She's getting ready to go on the tow rope, turning around. And even as you see this, I want you to let the Lord give you hope for whatever situation you're in. And I want you to let the Spirit of the Lord give you vision for something far greater. The enemy's trying to paint some horrible end to your picture. But KK wouldn't let that happen. And I believe God is going to grace you so you don't let that happen. And here she comes down the hill. She's the one in the burgundy. Her brother is right by her, protecting her. And here she is skiing. Look at that. You would never know that that child was missing her left leg. And watch her come to a stop. It's like she's a pro at this. And you can't really see her face, but she's so happy. We're so happy, and we're rejoicing. And can I just ask you to rejoice in the Lord with us for what he's done? And we're going to ask you to go ahead and stand. I know you don't know me. I'm new here. Our family is new here, but Pastor Tammy would like you to stand. And we're gonna pray just a prayer of healing over our lives. And you know, healing happens in many ways. It happens emotionally, spiritually. In our mind, we might need healing from fear and anxiety. It can happen physically. In whatever way God so desires to heal us today, I just believe we're going to be opened to what he wants to do in the next just moment as we pray. Just a simple prayer. We sang it earlier. Here in your presence, all things become new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. So, Father, we just thank you right now that whatever it is, Lord God, in whatever way that we might need healing today, Lord God, we say that that situation must bow at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed and we have been made whole in every way. And God, we humbly ask you today that what you have already done, what you have already accomplished through the suffering and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that would manifest in our lives today. That God, we would be healed through and through and in every way. And God, we would go through to 2020, Lord God, with clear vision, Lord God. That God, things are not as they appear to be, Lord God. And that just like KK had that vision, Lord God, to run, to ski, and to play with her future children, Lord God. God, I pray that we are so healed and we are so made whole that we run with that kind of vision. And for this we thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, can we give God some praise?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just begin to worship Jesus. God's got something and he wants to do in us. Let's let faith arise in our spirit. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Just worship him right now. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God. Come on, you sing. Worthy is your name. Sing, you are my strength. And you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you. And seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. So we sing as one voice. Come on, lift it. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You know, as we were watching that video and I could see them ascending that mountain, can you just see yourself where God's pulling you on a holy tow rope to the top of the mountain? Maybe you feel like you've been in the valley for a long time and God wants you to bring you up. And wasn't it cool to see how KK's brother was just watching over us, watching over her? And I feel like that's like the Holy Spirit. He's the paraclete, the one who walks alongside of us. He's the one that's going to help us get through 2020 in a powerful way. It's going to be a year of victory for us. So whatever it is that we've been praying for, I just want you to know God has got great plans for you. He knows the plans that he has for us, right? They're not plans to harm us, but they're plans to give us a hope and plans to give us a future in him. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And as we finish out this service, Lord, once again, we just dedicate our lives to you. We say, here we are, God. We might not have much, but we give it all. We give ourselves as an offering to you, Lord, a living sacrifice that we place on the altar. Lord, I thank you for this congregation, Lord, and for the love that you have for each one of us, Lord. You've not forgotten us. You know us by name. Our names are inscribed in your hand. And I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would come and show yourself mighty in great and new ways in 2020, and that we would have vision, clear vision, to see what you have for us. And we just praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you just give some praise once again to Jesus? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it wouldn't be a complete service without me saying, have a... And so I'll let Pastor know that we said that for you. And Pastor James, would you just lead us out with an anthem of worship as we end our service? God bless you.
Just sing this. I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. Just sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever, all my days, hallelujah, God. Lord, that's our prayer this morning, that you would reign in our lives, you would reign in our hearts, you would reign in our minds. Every part of us we offer completely to you. We give you this service and we give you this time. And everyone said, amen. Amen.